Turn to Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some say that you're Elias, and others, Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Someone asked me recently, "Pastor, what is the passion for your church? What is your passion for the church you pastor?" That was a heavy question, but a logical and a good question. What is our passion? I guess that's the way to say it or to frame it. And today, I think, would put some things together. Here is Jesus asking his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Who does the intelligentsia say who I am? Who does the news agency or the reporters say that I am? Who do the politicians say that I am? Who does Wall Street say I am? We could ask that in a variety of ways. Who does the teachers union say who I am? And they said, "Some say." How many know that there have always been the "some say" folks around? They thought they were safe on John the Baptist because he's dead. Elijah or Elisha, either the one, because they are dead. And Jeremiah, he's gone. Or he's one of the prophets. But Jesus turned and said, "Who do you say that I am?" That's the important thing. It's not what the news media says. It's not what the educators say. It's not what the financial people say. Who do you say? Who do you say that I am? And here's Simon Peter. God bless him. You know the answer. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon." Now, there's some key words here that I do want to call to our attention in this time of ministry today. And really, I think it includes the basic, what is your passion for the church that you pastor? Whom do you say that I am? I want you to know that this pastor and this staff and this church does not blink nor stutter when we say our passion is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. No compromise. It's Jesus. You've heard it sung. You've heard it testified. You've heard it preached. The financial world is filled with doom and gloom. Jesus answered. Now I want you to notice what he said. Jesus said, "Blessed are you." And knowing what we know now, we needed to hear what else Jesus had to say. You are Peter. Or we could say it like this. You are Peter, but you are blessed. See, Jesus not only saw the humanity, Jesus not only saw the frailty, Jesus not only saw the feet of clay, Jesus saw who Peter could be and who Peter would be. You just can't mess up any worse than cussing and saying you don't even know who Jesus is. How do you cover that one? And I want to say to this entire congregation today, because this is the message of this church, we're not speaking down to you. We were sinners. We're saved by grace. We have a new creation in Christ Jesus inside of us, but our head and our body can still mess up. And unfortunately, we can and we do. I heard a little 5 or 10 minutes going home the other night of a talk show. And a man called in whose life had been touched by pornography. He said, my life is forever marred. I believe that was the word that he used. Is forever marred by my involvement. And in my SUV, I just shouted out, sir, what you need is Jesus. You may have been messed up upside down. You may have had the worst. And it may come in degrees. You know, that's what we want. We want hands laid on us, and I won't see you for a long. It'll come in degrees. Service after service. Line after line. Precept upon precept. Hearing this one. Hearing that one. Attending the meetings. You've got to start giving God first place in your life. But God is the healer of broken hearts, and God is the healer of messed up memories. And God is the healer of messed up marriages. Some of the strongest marriages in this room at one time are some of the most messed up marriages in the world. Every once in a while on television, I see some powerful ministries, knowing what I know behind the scenes. At one time, their marriage was a mess. But God touched their marriage. They put God first place. And God turned things around. And here they are winning multitudes of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that nothing is impossible with God. It's unfortunate if you've missed it, but let's not wallow in it. Let's thank God there is a healing Jesus. There is a saving Jesus. There is a delivering Jesus. And you may have come out of abject poverty, or you may have come out of a totally dysfunctional situation. Most folks do have a trace of that somewhere. All of our families got some dysfunctional somewhere down the line. We don't like to talk about it, but somebody's been dysfunctional down the line. But I want you to know Jesus Christ is not dysfunctional. And he was not the son of a German soldier. Jesus Christ is the son of the living God. And he says, you are blessed. I'm going to make a statement I don't think I've ever made before. You may be going straight to hell, but today you are blessed. You're blessed you're still alive. You're blessed that you have a mind that you can make intelligent decisions with. You're blessed. You are. Put your name there. But you are blessed. That's the kind of Jesus I serve. He didn't wait until we have enough brownie points. He didn't wait until we'd done enough good deeds. He said, right now, knowing who you are, the mess ups that you'll make, but that you're going to come out all right. You're coming through, Peter. You're coming out. You are blessed. Blessed are you right now with all your imperfections. Blessed. Folks, that word blessed, my Jesus, have mercy. You are blessed. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. with perfect people, perfect preachers, perfect staff, perfect members. No, I'll explain that in just a moment. He said, I will build my church. And any way you want to say it, hell's gates or the gates of hell or Satan's best efforts will not ultimately stop the true church of the living God. Will not stop us. We may be bruised, we may be bloody, we may have the wind knocked out of us, we may have a tornado or a fire, but mark it down, we're coming through and we're coming out. I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I did just a quick checking with Dr. Strong. Upon this rock, it's a massive rock, really, is what it is. Really, I'd have to call it a mountain. Mountain's a big rock. Jesus is a big rock. Did you ever notice how many times through the Psalms and through the Word of God, He is my rock, is quoted or said or confessed? There's great significance. My rock, my fortress, rock. We may shake on the rock, but the rock never shakes beneath us. The rock, on this rock, there is no stronger rock than the name of Jesus. Now, I've traveled quite a bit, and I know we're all supposed to now be tolerant that all roads lead to heaven. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but let me preach to the choir for a minute, lest the choir ever misinterpret what I'm saying. All roads do not lead to heaven. Buddha does not lead to heaven. Hare Krishna does not lead to heaven. Mohammed does not lead to heaven. Salt Lake City does not lead to heaven. I'm not mad at him. I'm just saying that does not lead to heaven. That's not politically nor religiously correct to say what I just got through saying. But I'm here to tell you all roads do not lead to heaven. There's one road that leads to heaven, and His name is Jesus. So that word rock or Petra, it's a massive rock. I call it this mountain of rock truth. There is no stronger mountain. There is no bigger rock. There is no greater truth than Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Then He said, I will build. And this is interesting. I will build. Boy, there's days I just had to back off and say, God, I can't build it. I can't get this whole thing remodeled overnight. I can't do everything that needs to be done in Uganda. We have calls in several different African nations that want the same thing we're doing in Kampala, Uganda, to be in other nations. But we need more money. We need more leadership, more manpower to do it. And we've learned you can't do these things unless you have the right people in the right place. There is nothing any more important in a church or a business or wherever than the right people in the right places. You get the wrong person there and money starts missing. You get the wrong person there and strange things begin to happen. I will build means this. It's from the base of the word architecture. And what it is, when He said, I will build, it's a master man with a master plan. A master man with a master plan. A master architect who constructs houses or buildings. And you know, I'm not saying that every building that's called a church is the greatest example of a church. I know church started in the home, but they had nowhere else to go. Today, God has blessed us with wonderful places of worship, not just here, but all over the world. But he said, I will build. There's an architect. Well, let's break it down. That building includes you. You're the church. That building includes me. That building includes your family. And I believe that building includes local churches who honor Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who are doing the New Testament work of ministry. Nothing wrong with the building. It's a place to house people that come together. And I'm so glad to know there's an architect who's in charge of Pastor Bob Nichols. And as long as he's Lord of my life, this building's going to get built. My building's going to get built. I'm growing up. My family's growing up. My grandchildren are growing up. My great-grandchildren are growing up. You're growing up. We're all being built up by the master architect. Man showed me a church one time. He said, we didn't have an architect. We just put it together. Man, I mean, I didn't see anything in square. You see, it pays to have good plans. It pays to build correctly. It pays to lay a good foundation. And you know about church. Church is like marriages. Every day is not, you know, every day is not honeymoon. Every Sunday is not honeymoon. I wished it was. I wished every Sunday was, woo, the greatest Sunday we've ever had, and most of them are. But there's building times and planning times and giving times and first fruits times. Times when we're getting ready for the greater blessings and the greater push. So, blessed are you, Simon. I know that your name is Peter. I know who you are. I know you're going to mess up. But I know that you're coming through. Boy, that's... And upon this rock, this mountain of rock truth, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build. I will build. And I want to declare to you that Jesus Christ, as far as every commitment of my heart, is Jesus Christ is the architect. He was in 1964 when he put a vision that was, I didn't see. At that time, the bank said it's a full service bank, that you don't just deposit your checkings and your savings, but this bank has a lot of services, full service bank. And so therefore, we have youth and different levels of youth. We have prayer. We have outreach. We have missions. We have things that we're doing that go beyond. And of course, other churches are doing their way, are doing that also. We're not the only church. But now notice that. He said, I will build what? My church. You know what that word church? It's the called out ones. It's not those that signed up and joined a church. It's not those that just go because it's the, you know, when you move into a community, what is the church that you attend that will put you in the best business position and the best political position? You know, who are the influence peddlers in this community? You got to belong to this church. Yeah. Well, it's the called out ones. Yes, it is a religious congregation, but it's a righteous congregation. I know the word religion doesn't have the best connotation, but you see, it's a community of members. That's what it is. Church is a community of Christians, born again believers, saints on earth, and many of them have gone on to heaven. The saints, the letters were written to the saints at so and so, the saints at so and so, the saints at so and so. The letters were written. Tell the saints in the different churches. You see that in Revelation. So, Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And to the man that responded, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, Please get a hold of this. You are blessed. You may not be blessed as much as you'd like to be, and most of you are blessed more than you realize you are. Folks, we are blessed. I don't use the word luck. There's no such thing as luck with a child of God. We're blessed. Maybe someone's blessed more than you are, but you are blessed. I'm blessed on my way to being blessed in a greater way. Joanna, I've been saying this. She outsays me on this one. She said, Bob, God has been so good to us. God has blessed us in so many ways. I think a young man, the least likely to succeed out of three brothers in school, the least likely to succeed. I'm not trying to underplay things. Really, honest to God, you'd never believe it today, but I really had a strong inferiority complex. I just didn't have strong faith in myself. Now, I did what I did with zeal, but as far as believing in me, a lot of that was cover up until I got there. But God took an unlikely candidate. And that's the story of all of our lives. God took an unlikely candidate. And I look at what God has done. I was just trying to think of all the places we've been in the last 2 or 3 years. I said, how do you go there? I have a good travel agent. Look at some of the friends you have. Look at some of the people you know. Look at some of the folks you went to school with. Some of them you can't even find them today. Sin is a cruel, hard taskmaster. And here we are with all the reasons we shouldn't, and yet we have. And we are. And the best is yet to come. As Johnny sings, you really are blessed. Maybe your marriage has gone through turmoil, your personal life. I mean, you know, just all kinds of maybes. But we really are blessed. I think of all the times in our downtown location when we should not have continued to be a church. Couldn't find financing there and just hung by a thread for a number of years. And now we're not downtown, we're uptown. Sometimes it's busier than we'd all like for it to be out here on 35. But you know, 144,000 people a day see our missionary out there by the roadside called a church sign. You see, the mountain, the rock that we've built upon since 1964, and I'm just speaking of us. Thank God for all the good pastors and the great churches. There's some great churches across the land. But number one truth that we have built on from square one. By the way, the first message I ever preached came from this verse. The Alaska earthquake had just taken place, and the first Sunday morning, after 2 or 3 weeks that we had a meeting in the old post office building, the first Sunday morning that I preached on this rock, I'll build my church. And of course, the Alaska earthquake had been very devastating at that time. But number one truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Again, just a few days ago, a couple of this church said, thank you, Pastor Bob Nichols, for giving an altar call in all services. And I believe their parents, her parents, were in the 80s. There was an altar call given, and they had never, as I understand it, never been a church that had an altar call. And they just thought, we're going down there. And both parents walked down here and gave their heart to Jesus. And now there's been a home going. They said, thank you. On a Wednesday night. Who gives altar calls on a Wednesday night? Who meets on a Wednesday night? Not many. Lisa's sister shows up. You'd been praying for her. Gave her heart to Jesus. And 8 days later, she went into eternity. Thank God for altar calls. You know, we all get a little tired sometimes of giving altar calls. And we think, well, what can we say so different? I mean, you know, we try to put a little window dressing on it and try to make it as inviting as we possibly can. But the bottom line is, If you have Jesus, you're ready for eternity. And if you don't, you're in a world of hurt. You're hanging by a thread. You're here only by the grace of God. So we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Only name we can be saved. We believe that you must be born again. We had a lady in our church, and she came at me one Sunday morning. She was enjoying the church. She had been healed. And very elegant looking woman. She said, "Pastor Nichols, I don't like that. You must be born again." She said it just like that. And I said, "But that's what the Word of God says. You must be born again." She said, "I don't like the must." I said, "But you have to." And she turned around in a huff. About a week later, she joined the must. She was born again and received the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that whatever will be, even if it never is. God can know everything He wants to know, and that doesn't bother me at all. All I got to know is that I know what I'm supposed to know, and I do what God said to do about being born again. Also, this church from the very beginning has built on the rock of souls, souls, souls. We work virtually day and night at long hours to convert that old rugged post office building. My gracious. And then after about 4.5 years of just hard work, I mean hard work, we didn't have the money, so we did sweat equity. And carved out a beautiful chapel. It's still a beautiful chapel today, and they're taking very good care of that building. I appreciate that. But no souls were being saved. One day I walked back into my office after a Sunday morning. The song leader didn't show up. I mean, it's one of those days when, you know, teachers didn't, wasn't much to teach. But anyway, many to teach. I mean, it's one of those days when you preached and you felt like you spit cotton all the way. I got through, went back to my office, and I told Joe, "I'm not coming home." And I fell on my face before God and had a prayer meeting. I said, "God, this is not why we have worked so hard to try to carve this thing out. And I appreciate a little handful of people that we have. Thank God for them. But God, we want to win souls." And that's when God sent the Jesus Hippie Revival, and we started seeing people saved in every service. And we saw, I think it was some 1,300 young people that came to God. And I said, this is why we started a church. The last thing Fort Worth needs is another church. Let me tell you this. If we'll just win the lost, there's no shortage on sinners. There's enough people on the street. There's enough people in the projects. There's enough people all over town. If people will just go out instead of trying to get somebody else's something, go win the lost. Go set the captives free. I mean, help people that desperately need help. And so souls has been a driving force. And we've gone through some dry periods and some lean periods when we weren't seeing everything we want. And we still every once in a while hit just a little brief streak of that. But like last summer, let's gear up and do some, we're going to do some outreach this summer. What this church is all about is souls. Why? Because Jesus said, say it with me, Jesus said, "I have come to seek and to save that which is lost." Jesus came for ever living, never dying souls. Harvest is the bottom line. We've built on the rock of anointed preaching and teaching. Jesus was both a preacher and a teacher. There was a day when there was virtually no room for any teaching. Then we've had so much teaching. I've heard some younger preachers say, "Well, preaching's out. It's just all teaching." No, honey, it's both. Jesus was a preacher and Jesus was a teacher. Read your Bible. It's there very plainly. We believe in anointed preaching and teaching. I said anointed. I know my pastor that made such a difference in my life, Brother Carl Alcorn. He said, "Some people can dive in deeper and come up shallower than anything I've ever seen in my life." I know all quote deep teaching is not deep teaching. You got to get some life mixed into it. And that's of course what the Word of God's all about. Then there's the rock of reading, believing, and living God's Word. This church is built on the Word of God. As best I know, everything we do, offerings, outreach, youth, missions, everything we do is based on this Word. Everything we do is based on this Word. We're not here to be religious. Everything we do is ministry. At least that's where our heart's coming from. Everything we do is ministry. Tapes are ministry. CDs are ministry. Bible school is ministry. The fruits are all around us. So we believe in the Word of God. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. God said that back in Isaiah 55. We also have built on the rock of respecting and honoring proven ministries. You remember when the prophet of God came by and the children ran out and said, you know, go on, bald head, go on, bald head. Well, what difference does that make? Ooh, read your Bible. She bears came out of the woods from nowhere and consumed children. Oh, Brother Nichols, we can't hurt the children. Children can be mean as the devil too. And those children were literally filled with the spirit of the evil one. And when they spoke sarcastically of a man, but we better be glad we live in a day of grace. I said, we better be glad we live in a day of grace. What I'm talking about is not whether you have a full head of hair or whether you're bald. It's the fact that they made fun of the prophet of God as he came by and just laughed and go up, bald head, go. And God didn't overlook that. Boy, that's one of those severe portions of God's word. How can God destroy twin cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Because he doesn't like what's going on there. Okay, let's move on. But God calls us to build on the rock of respecting and honoring proven ministries. I told Robbie the other day, I said, Robbie, always respect and love and honor older ministers, and God will bless you for that. We've done things that I don't care to talk about right now, but one of them, Brother D.H. Phillips, who was such a blessing to this ministry. Brother Phillips got in his 80s, and I called him one day to come, and he said, Brother, he said, my body just won't do it. My body just won't do it. And so every month we sent an offering and to help that dear brother. And it made a difference in his life. And then when he passed away, we took care of his wife for a couple of years, almost 2 years, if I remember correctly. And, you know, we've sown a lot of seed around here. And, you know, we need to honor proven ministries, older ministries who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. You know, Timothy was important, but so was Paul the aged. Both are there. Paul called himself the aged. That means you're old or getting old. And Timothy was a young man. And he admonished Timothy, stir up the gift that's in you. Don't let people make fun of your gift. Do what God's called you to do. But who said that? It was under the anointing of God that Paul the aged. I'll be honest with you. I miss Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin. I miss Oral Roberts. I know so many people knew him so much better than I did. But thank God, Joy, we were able to go just really a few weeks before he went home to be with the Lord in his home there. Derek Prince, what a blessing. Dr. Lester Sumrall, I miss these men of wisdom. Noise isn't necessarily the Holy Spirit. I mean, we had one service here several months ago. Some woman, I don't even know who she is, don't know her name. She was just screaming out, screaming out, screaming out, screaming out. Well, she wasn't listening to a word that was being preached. She was just having, I don't know. And maybe, I don't doubt her love for God, but she just kept screaming out, screaming out. And so I had to give a nod. I said, you know, noise is not necessarily Holy Ghost. There's a time to sit and soak. There's a time to run. There's a time for Jericho marches. There's a time to shout, to praise God. But it's all of it, really. And to think that every service has to be a certain thing. Not so. There's times we need to sit and soak and hear a word that's going to help change your life and my life too. We honor the power of the Holy Spirit, not just noise or screaming or all that, but we honor the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say every time I preach, welcome Holy Spirit. In my heart, there's a welcome to the Holy Spirit. It's not a frenzy. It's not a off the wall all the time. And yet there's times when it just gets as wild as you could imagine. We've built on the rock of finding, joining, and being faithful to a New Testament church. You've got to give a church a chance. You know, you got to come, and you don't come once every so long often, but you got to give a church a chance and come and hear what's being said and worship God and be a part of that and help support. I believe in the rock of prayer. Now, Joy's daddy was a praying man, and my father was a praying Baptist. He wasn't as fervent as Mom was in her red-hot Holy Ghost way. But I'm going to tell you something. My mother, and here's my cry and my desire for young couples. You know, we get in such messes. You can pray your way out of your mess if you'll just take the time. Get off the phone. Get off your texting. Let me tell you something. Every one of us face times and situations in our life. There's no answer. And as much as I love the power tower is not your total answer for everything. Joy's called the power. We've all called the power tower. And I believe in it with all my heart. But there's a time when you got to bow before God and get quiet in your spirit and call upon God. I can still hear my mother. She didn't just pray, honey. She prayed in the spirit. I'm telling you, my mother was something else. Joy's mother, she was quiet, a little quieter in her personality than my mother. But Joy's mother, she'd get a hold of something and she'd pray that thing through. There was many times in the early days of this church, I'd call either my mother or I'd call Joy's mother. And I'd say, hey, we got to have some miracles here. And I mean, it started on the telephone, and when the telephone went down, they hit their knees. And sometimes within just the hour, sometimes 24 hours, sometimes a week, a few days, I saw a supernatural divine turnaround. Things are not going to change in your life because you're such a sweet thing or because you're so intelligent or whatever. Just like our brother said, I mean, when people are laying off and this is happening and that's happening, you need a miracle. You need something that only God can do. My mother and Joy's mother, they knew how to pray and get results. Do you pray expecting results, or you just pray about it? You need more than words. There are prayers that break the backs of words. Not only praying in the Spirit, there's groanings which cannot be uttered. There's a time you need to forget about the clock, about your schedule, about everything in your life, and fall on your face before God and stay there until there's a witness in your spirit that the answer is on the way. Well, Brother Nichols, what about the prophet? Seven times the servant goes, nothing. Six times, nothing. Preacher, go look again. That's the way you pastors, you preachers, you're always wanting us to do something. Okay, the seventh time. You say, why? I don't know. Maybe it's just testing how bad you really do want it. Wouldn't we be a mess if all we said, in Jesus' name, and everything happened that you wanted? This world would be in a mess. We also have built on the rock that Jesus is coming again. God bless Billy Graham. He's held to that. Heard a little blowtorch on television the other day. These little hotshots, they think they've preached a few sermons and they know everything. Talking about the older generation, they've had their day. You know, the old preachers have had their time. I'm going to tell you, that young preacher, I bet he's having trouble paying his bills. We need each other. And then he goes on to take on another older ministry on television and say, well, everybody of your generation believed in the coming of the Lord. And I thought, man, you're not real swift. Whether you believe that or not, be careful. Be careful. He said, as he went away, he's coming again. He's coming back. I didn't say that. The Word says that. And the Bible said, in the day when they say he's not coming back, get ready, he's coming back. The Bible is filled with coming back. You say, well, the word rapture is only, it's not all through. Yeah, but catching away will get you out of here. Let's not get lost in word. No, all I'm saying is this. Be very reverent and be very careful to hold to what the Bible teaches. You don't have to have a new revelation to reach this generation. You just have to have an anointed word that really works. The Word of God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a heavy revy that we need. Dear God, we've got them everywhere we look. I got a magazine the other day from someone that's been so solid for so many years. And you wouldn't even, most of you wouldn't even be aware of it. I don't know how I got on the mailing list. But I read it, and they've changed their doctrine now. And I thought, boy, the Bible said in the end time, watch it, people are going to be squirrely, they're going to be flaky, they're going to be puffed up with knowledge, they're going to have bright ideas, they're going to know more than God, they're going to know more than the Word of God. But stay with the book. Stay with the rock, Jesus Christ. Every one of us still needs God, and we still need church. Let's hit it one more time. Jesus said, your name's Peter. I know who you are. I know you're going to mess up. I know where you have messed up. But Peter, take it from me. You are blessed.